This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
As we commemorate the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, it's more important than ever to commit ourselves to protecting these basic rights.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens?
Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law.
She said, "Oh, Reverend, what can I do? My husband has started to drink." And the preacher looked at her and said, "Madam, if I was married to you, I'd start to drink too."
Oh, my.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
Some have called this a parable about parables. It's a parable about how Jesus teaches and what happens when Jesus teaches and preaches. It is perhaps one of the most picturesque of his parables, along with the parable of the prodigal son and a few others. Here we have the single sower out in his field sowing his seed, and most of it, three quarters of it, doesn't end up where he wants it to go or where a good sower would want his seed to go. You've seen how we farm nowadays, don't you? It's all in nice, neat rows, and the seeds are surgically planted exactly where the farmer wants them to go nowadays. Why? Because we want a yield, because the goal is production, the goal is profit. Maybe the goal is different when the sower is Jesus. And in the words of the hymn writer, he just scatters his seed abroad, not seeming to care where that precious seed falls. How do we understand the parable of the sower? We're going to take it up with our pastor's roundtable on this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 30th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're giving away the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment this hour on the parable of the sower in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave a question or comment for the Pastor's Roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. And a little bit later in hour two, we're going to talk about the Trinity and Christian worship. Pastor Brian Kachelmeyer will be our guest. And then Dr. Gilbert Mailander from Valparaiso University joins us to talk about medical ethics, bioethics, the difference between the two, how medical ethics and bioethics fare in a brave new world where research moves ahead at a pace that not even scientists can necessarily keep up with, or the medical ethicists, much less people like you and me. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Holly is our guest here in the studio. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Brian, welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Joining us on the phone from Louisville, Nebraska, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church there, Pastor John Solberger. John, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Brian, let's start with why it is, and Jesus makes this quite clear when his disciples ask him to explain the parable. They obviously don't understand it yet. And he says to them, "To you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To everyone else, it's just parables." Why do the disciples get the inside track on Jesus preaching, and these vast crowds that are gathering don't?
Yeah, you've picked up on a shift in the story as we have it before us. Initially, there's a crowd, or the disciples, even these women that have maybe been supporting the ministry. Then we have the parable itself, and then the scene shifts just a bit, and it's the disciples are mainly in view, and then they ask the question, you know, what's up with this parable stuff? And then Jesus tells them, look, this is how it is, and some have described it as a bit of a mystery. For some, the kingdom of God, the way he reigns and rules in our life, it is a mystery. And not everyone gets it. Not everyone sees it. Many are blind or deaf to the message. And this is just the truth. We may not understand it, along with many of the other mysteries of the faith. The fact that standing right before them was God himself in the flesh, another one of those mysteries that is difficult for us to understand. But in his invitation, all you who have ears, let him hear. Well, we could recall that when Pharaoh was brought God's word, his heart was hardened. Or we might remember that when Mary was brought God's word by the angel, she became pregnant. And I often think that when a penitent hears God's word, he receives forgiveness. But that's not always the effect of God's word. And I think he's just trying to warn the disciples and warn us that, look, this is a reality in my kingdom. Some will not accept. Others will fall away. And if you operate under any different set of principles, then you're sorely mistaken.
Okay, let's set the context. Pastor Holly's given us a little bit of it, and that is, this is a point in Luke's gospel early on where he's beginning to gather enormous crowds. What do we need to know of the context, Pastor Solberger?
Well, it has to do with how our Lord is directing this, and not necessarily with where everyone is going to be in terms of readiness, but he has been performing his miracles. He has gathered quite a following. This is our Lord's year of popularity, as it has been called, and now he has determined that he has these people, you know, that right off with verse 4, we started, a great crowd is following him. Now our Lord has determined that now it is time to begin catechesis. Now it's time to start teaching what these miracles really mean. But not only that has he been preaching the good news, and now it's time to teach further on it, but he is specifically teaching in this one that he himself is the bringer of that good news. He is the one who has come to teach and to gather and to nurture and to prepare all of those that he would have with him in his kingdom. But it's not necessarily a case where everyone, as Pastor Holly has already mentioned, is ready to receive that word. And we're going to find that as we look through this parable and we listen to it in church on a Sunday morning or in Bible studies, that we're going to do the same thing that a lot of the people there probably did. We're going to be asking ourselves, we're going to internalize what Jesus is trying to teach us and say, hey, what kind of soil am I? How have I received this? And, of course, there's going to be some that, you know, they're going to think this is nothing but an agricultural lesson from a silly little rabbi from Nazareth. So there's quite a gamut of how people are going to receive this at this point.
Okay, let's deal with two things then. Is this a parable about a sower, as it's usually described, and Jesus seems to say, a sower went out to sow the seed, but he doesn't give us the hint like the kingdom of God is like a sower. He doesn't say that, like as he does in other Lucan parables. Is it a parable about a sower? Is it a parable about seed? Or is it a parable about soil, Pastor Holly?
I would suggest that it's primarily a parable designed to let people in on a little secret and to give them some insight about a reality that's going to be different and isn't going to make much sense to our human minds. For example, some of the things the sower does may or not be the smartest thing in the world, to throw your seed on places where you don't expect anything to grow. And the wholesale rejection by so many of the people or so much of the soil, if you will. So I think primarily it's about the seed, because Jesus identifies that as being his word. I think secondarily it is also about the sower. And then I would be so bold as to also say it's about his under-sowers, if you will. Because in chapter 9, he's going to send out the 12. And then a couple chapters later, he's going to send out the 70 or 72. So he's going to send out other people to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And that is the seed, the word of God. And surprise, surprise, it's not going to do what a lot of the sowers would necessarily like it to do, and that's yield fruit. And so I think he's preparing them for some disappointment, and I think there's a great deal we can learn there. And then I guess finally, sure, it's a little bit about the soil, and you can approach the question of the soil from a couple of different ways, one which quickly gets you in trouble. But I think we can sometimes ask ourselves, at one point in my life or another, have I ever acted like any of these types of soil? And why is that? So it, but primarily, I think it's word and the way God is going to work in this world, what his kingdom is like.
Okay, taking up the issue of the soil here, because I think usually it is going to be preached and taught as kind of a soil parable. And the question always hangs here, and you kind of stuck it out there as well, Pastor Solberger. What kind of soil am I? Is it helpful to note that while there are four different kinds of soil, only one is a Christian, and the rest are all unbelievers, at least in the end?
Yeah, I think that that's key in this, because as you also mentioned earlier, the whole premise to this parable is Jesus isn't really telling us that he's comparing it to anything spiritual or anything of his kingdom or anything at all in that regard. So what this really is, I think when you're talking about this parable, you cannot separate the sower and the seed. For really, as Jesus will later explain, you know, the seed is the word of God, and we know that our Lord is the living word. So what this, I think, is meant to first and foremost teach us, the hearer, as we hear this parable in the New Testament church especially, is here is a word of God that is performative, as we like to say. That is, it does what it says, and it doesn't matter where I am in my non-Christian unfaith and what kind of soil am I, but that in this word who scatters his seed with this reckless kind of abandon that is his undiscerning love for sinners, I am going to be given to be good soil, because he will keep scattering that seed on the hardness of my heart and the distractions of my cares and troubles in my life. So I really think the whole premise of this parable, which is very different than others because it's even more vague, is the fact that we're going to have nothing to do with the power of the seed. That itself is in the sower.
All right, when we come back, more with our pastor's roundtable. We'll get into the text of the parable of the sower and Jesus' explanation right after this.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has three conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Oh,
Cantate Choir of Concordia College, New York, with the hymn Preach You the Word. We're talking about the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, our pastor's roundtable. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Holly, Pastor John Solberger are our guests. Okay, we were talking during the break off mic, and John, you didn't have the benefit of hearing that, but I'll kind of bring you up to speed. That, you know, the way we farm today is it's a profit business, or at least every farmer would like it to be a profit business. And seed is expensive, and so they're extremely careful with how they do every phase of the planting and the watering and everything to get the absolute maximum yield. Using that kind of as our point of comparison here, this sower, you mentioned before the sower does things that are rather odd. This sower who, according to the text, says, Jesus says, the sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock as it grew up. It withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it, stopping there. Does it look like this sower is kind of looking for to maximize his profit on this seed?
Not at all. Not at all, Todd, because this seed is also very expensive, the Word of God. In fact, of course, it's priceless. But Jesus is not interested in numbers, shall we say. He is interested in all souls. He has been sent by his Father to do his Father's will, and we know that his Father's will is that all should be saved. However, Jesus isn't into a show of numbers because that's not what love does. You see, he's scattering this, and we tend to look at that which has fallen on the rocky way and trampled underfoot and caught in the thorns, and we scorn it. The point is, the sower, Jesus, loves the people among the thorns. He loves the hard of heart where the word cannot at first take root. And so he will never stop with abandon scattering his seed, we could almost say, especially among all the hard places where it's not supposed to grow according to our strength or our logic and reason.
Does it matter, Pastor Holly, where the seed lands, ultimately, where it lands, if it doesn't land on good soil? Because the end of each, I mean, some of it actually does take root.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some of it survives a little bit. Some of it is almost immediately snatched away. But the end result is what one might say that the seed doesn't do any good. Should that be our judgment, that preaching to people who we think won't understand or hear or believe is a waste of our time?
Well, obviously, we don't know who that's going to be. We don't know when it will please the Holy Spirit to create the life-saving faith that obviously produces the good fruit in many multiples of itself. So we are called to share that word, to throw Jesus to the world, if you will, and to let it bounce and let it sprout where it may. You described those three types of soil kind of interesting. You know, in one, there is no growth. In the other, there's maybe a little growth, maybe just a quick sprout before it dies. And then in the other case, there can maybe be significant growth, but things happen. And all of a sudden, this seed, which is now sprouted and is growing, can become choked out. And all of a sudden, something quite precious can be lost. And so I think there is a warning there in many respects. And I think the way that they use those first three soils, I think there's a very interesting parallel between what Luther would also often refer to as the unholy trinity. You have in the first case the devil. You have in the second case the world with all its persecutions and troubles. And then in the third case, you have the cares and riches and concerns of this world, our flesh, and the desire for what we want and those kinds of things. So any and all of these things, the seed is all the same. It's not like some seed is better and we got lucky. But it's the fact is that seed is spread, but it will have varying results. And so we should never think, well, I'm obviously a believer, so I'm safe. I can chill, do whatever I want. I'm growing, all is well, and I don't need to be worried about those other things. I think there's warnings here in this simple little parable as well.
Okay, what does it say to us then, Pastor Solberger, in our modern methods of church growthery, that we are often tempted to believe that we can do better than this sower with this seed? That we can kind of do the precision farming that agricultural experts say is in literal farming is the only way to go. What does it say?
Well, yeah, we have these things these days called mission strategies and all types of other names that have to do with our discerning and our judging on who's going to be worth our time and effort in evangelism. You know, who's going to, we want the young families, the active people. We want the really enthusiastic types, because after we get them in, by golly, what we're going to do is just send them right back out to get more in and make the beehive bigger. But Jesus is not on that plane at all. We are all that bad soil. You know, it's like Pastor Holly was saying, once we become Christians, we shouldn't say, now I'm good soil, I don't have to worry, and boy, hope that word of God goes out to the people who are smart enough to get it, who are good enough to understand it. And that what we have to understand is that it's not the soil that makes the seed grow. It's the seed and the sower, and that is how. And there's a lot of ourselves that has to die in this. Remember that, you know, we have in Matthew that, you know, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will bear no fruit. So that seed, which is Christ in us, gives us to do what he did on the cross. It gives us to die to ourselves, to die to the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, as Pastor Holly rightly said. And we become good soil from him who for us was buried and rose again from the ground.
Now, we come to verse 8 there. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot to us today, but Pastor Holly, I've been told that in first century Palestine, 100-fold was, well, impossible. Nothing yielded 100-fold. No seed yielded 100-fold in that day in technology and agriculture.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything to convince me otherwise. I grew up on a little farm in Kansas, and we used to sow some wheat. And I can remember my parents praying and hoping that God might bless them with maybe 30 bushels per acre. And it just so happened that back then they used to sow this wheat seed at about a bushel per acre. So they were hoping and praying for maybe a 30-fold increase. And our seeds were much better, I think, than back then in farming methods and soils in Kansas and everything else. And then over the years, nowadays, better seeds, better other things. And now they're talking about wheat that can perhaps yield 60 or 70. We're still not talking something in excess of 100 times. So I suspect this is an incredible yield for the people back then to hear. And I suspect many of the people that haven't been given the ears of faith to receive the message by the Holy Spirit, I suspect they heard this and went, he's nuts. The guy is absolutely nuts. And they were done.
What is it's mentioned several times here, either that it isn't produced or that it is. But what is the yield? What is the fruit, so to speak, at the end of all of this, Pastor Solberger?
Well, it is the faith that gives us those ears to hear, ears of faith. Faith that clings to everything Jesus ever did or said and continues to say and do for us. You know, we talked about these strategies where how we want to evangelize for the highest, most optimum effect or result. And with our Lord, it is simply his divine service to us that yields this 100-fold faith. You know, we as pastors and people in the church need to understand that it is the Word that causes growth. And the growth that Jesus is most particularly interested in is the growth within each one of us, the growth of faith, the growth of that God-given trust to receive all that he would give us. And in the divine service, we receive that, and then we go out into our daily callings, the vocations that our God gives us, as however mundane or wonderful that they may be. And there is where we see the effects of this 100-fold good fruit. Our faith is lived amongst the student across the aisle in the classroom, the coworker, and all the other people we encounter in our lives, most especially our own families. And there is where we find this exponential growth of not only the personal faith, but faith being shared in the way that our Lord intended by sowing his good seed of faith.
And if I could add, absent the seed, there is no fruit.
Amen.
There is no yield. There is no harvest. It's not about how good the soil is. It's about how great the seed is. And if in our lives we ever find ourselves too worried about other things or ready to move on to the next fad, or if our jobs or the fun stuff in life are beginning to squeeze out church, the divine service and his word, we need to be reminded what will save us is not our goodness. We need more of the word. We need to stay connected with the word. We need to protect it so that we don't allow Satan to snatch it away from it, or to distort it, or to twist it, or to create doubt. Because, see, that's how Satan snatches the word out. He plants doubt about, well, you know, there's parts of the Bible you can't rely in. And by doing that, he's snatching away whole books of the Bible, or maybe even all of the Old Testament. And so Satan is at work today.
Pastor Brian Holly is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. He, along with Pastor John Solberger, are our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Solberger serves Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska. We'll be right back.
Lutheran schools offer so much: strong values for life,
a balance of academics and spiritual development,
theologically trained teachers,
and learning God's love every day.
There are plenty of reasons to celebrate our Lutheran schools. Here at Concordia Publishing House, we believe that Lutheran schools are the future of our church. Year after year, Lutheran teachers build lifelong Christians for service, so join us as we celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week. Every day from January 27th to February 3rd, CPH will offer a new discount on teaching resources. That's 5 days of savings on gifts, books, and toys perfect for Lutheran classrooms. So visit cph.org to take advantage of these special offers to support your mission. We love our Lutheran schools and pray that you have a blessed National Lutheran Schools Week.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sikeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Facebook is one of the major means of social networking. Millions of Americans use it to communicate with family, friends, and business colleagues. After the first of the year, women in the UK were surprised to find targeted advertisements promoting local abortionists. The ads were linked to an American website listing a directory of abortionists and abortion mills. Facebook officials confirmed the targeted ads were allowed, even though they regularly censor pro-life ads and individual expressions of free speech, such as realistic images of what abortion does to babies. Pro-lifers are routinely banned for such actions. According to Facebook, you can't show the deadly reality of what abortion does to its victims, but you can freely advertise the abortion business that kills them. It's time to stop the madness.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Oh,
25th stanza of the hymn, Preach You the Word, sung by the Cantata Choir of Concordia College, New York. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's our Pastor's Roundtable. We're looking at the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. Pastor Brian Holly, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois, and Pastor John Solberger, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska, are our Pastor's Roundtable. And you can join us with questions or comments as well. Join the conversation, and the listener with the best question or comment in the next half hour will receive the Lutheran Study Bible. Our Facebook fan page, where you can leave questions or comments for our Pastor's Roundtable, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. In verse 9, the disciples who, at least at this point, are kind of in the same position as the rest of the crowds. They come to Jesus, and it says, when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. I got a couple questions about that, Pastor Solberger. First of all, what are the secrets? What are the mysteries of the kingdom of God he's talking about?
Well, I think it has to do with the fact that his love for sinners is not how we would think of going about the kind of people we would want to be with, or as we might say, Jesus is not collecting the best of the best out there. He's going after the sinners. That itself is a mystery, and the secret is he loves sinners. And I guess, secondly, what these things say is seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. We look at the meaning to the third article of the Creed from Luther's Small Catechism. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the gospel has called me. This seed of the good word of forgiveness, life, and salvation. I'm not going to get this by my own seeing, by the way I think I see the world and how it works or how it should go. And it's not by my understanding, which is limited by my sin, but rather this mystery of God's love is what unlocks that love, softens my heart, ushers me and shepherds me through the thorns and troubles of this life. And that really is not what the people who were going after this year of popularity and following this man who was healing everybody and saying all these things we love, because it's very soon after this point that Jesus is going to start talking about what his disciples will not be able at all to understand according to their own logic and reason, that he must go to Jerusalem and be handed over into the hands of evil men and be crucified and on the third day rise.
Pastor Holly, I'd like your thoughts also on that, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. It's not the only place that Jesus says this in the Gospels, that the parables have the purpose for those who hear them and do not believe of, you spoke earlier about kind of further hardening the heart, that the Word of God can also have this effect. It's, I guess we could call it, its alien work in unbelieving man, to close eyes, to make them people unable to understand.
Yeah, and that in itself is a mystery to us. We don't understand that. And it's one of those points where it's really important that we take all of Scripture and we allow our thoughts on the subject to be shaped by that. Because a question kind of from our mind is often, well, okay, what's the problem then? Is it a soil problem? You know, then I got to shape myself up and I got to make myself good and then I'm in good shape. Or is it a seed problem? Is the seed thrown here not as good as the seed grown there? Or is this a problem with God's will? Is he trying to hide it? Is he trying to make it so that there's no way that people can be saved? Well, a strict reading of this text and none other might kind of lead you to think that, and might even, as it has some, led them to think, well, okay, he predestined some to eternal life, and he must therefore predestine some the other way, and that's what's reflected here, and he's just trying to hide it. I would just suggest you just pause for a moment and say, how is this sower hiding it? What's he doing? If the seed is the word, everybody can have the same word. It's all the same word. And to keep this consistent with the rest of Scripture, which tells us that God desires all men to be saved, and come to the knowledge of life. And the fact that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, not just those who would believe or those who were elect and would be saved, but he paid for the sins of the whole world. That's a part. So it can't be that God is somehow being malicious here and that he is setting out from the get-go to keep it secret, as much as it's probably a reflection of, look, this is the way I will be at work in the world. And for some, many, it will be lost. And so the other thing that goes along with that then is when people say, well, I think I'm a good soil. Right? I think I'm a good soil. And the temptation then is to pray something like this. Thank God I'm not like that other soil. Well, gosh, that puts us in mind of another Bible story, mm-hmm. and a Pharisee and a tax collector. So we don't want to do that. And I suspect the good soil doesn't even know it's good soil, because it doesn't depend on the soil. It depends on the seed and the absence of these other things and the seed being there and producing the fruit.
I wonder if there is an element to this where God's counsel here is simply hidden from us, Pastor Solberger. And that is, while we certainly, and I think the big point of this parable for the church is, you don't know where that seed is falling. You just throw that seed wherever it goes, freely, without reservation, without worrying about it. And that's backed up by other parables. But God does know, but he doesn't tell us. That creates kind of a tension for us, doesn't it, Pastor Solberger?
It does. In a manner of speaking, it takes us out of the loop, a loop that we usually want to be in. Even the least obvious of us are all control freaks, as a fellow pastor of mine once stated. We when we're taken out of the equation, even we Lutherans who will often say and believe quite readily that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ and him alone, we still don't like not being part of the salvation equation. And that leaves us, if I can't be in control, in fact, if I have no idea what this undiscerning, reckless Jesus and all of his love scattered everywhere is doing, then I can't be sure by my own discerning if I'm saved or not. And we tend to worry, and that's when we think we have to get our hands in on things and at least help our Lord in the issue of our salvation. No, we don't like that at all. But there again, what does the seed produce? What is this fruit? It is faith which receives and believes. I often tell my people this. Remember always that faith is not what your heart is feeling, because that is fleeting and it changes by the moment. But neither is faith what is logical and reasonable to your mind. It is neither. It resides in you, and it is personally yours, this gift of faith. But it believes where and when, and even when, we can't seem to believe on our own strength and reason.
So, in the end, Jesus says that the good soil, and this is verse 15, he says, as for that good soil, because we've talked quite a bit about the other kinds of soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. What is he describing there, Pastor Holly?
Well, I like the way it was mentioned a little earlier, that the good soil, it's not someone in which God can work or that they've made it possible for the seed to yield fruit. These are folks that simply cling to the seed, to the word, and as the point was made easier, I think earlier we can also say that cling to Jesus for all the word, the seed, and Jesus is worth. Not for everything they're worth, but for those other things. Because that just faith in the word, even when that word puts us at tension with the way we think things ought to be, or maybe when that word puts us at odds with how it looks like the realities of this life really are. It's simply clinging to. And sometimes I think the way we read the story, we tend to separate the soil and the seed. And I think actually, if you read it carefully, what he's saying is, hey, that soil in which the seed has yielded fruit, it's a It's a combination thing. Actually, it's not, well, that soil's good enough. It's that when I describe that which is yielding, I'm describing that in which the seed, my word, my son, is having its effect on them. And they're clinging to me in faith, not claiming any goodness of their own, but simply saying praise God for the gift of his son.
And real quickly, before we take this break here, it says they bear fruit. And he doesn't just say bear fruit. He says bear fruit with patience. What are your thoughts there, Pastor Schoelberger, with about a minute before our break?
Well, that patience is the nature that we inherit by being hearers of the Word of God and keeping it by His grace and power. We become that long-suffering one. We know that our faith is produced in a world that is hostile to the faith, and the patience that our Lord is keeping is wait upon Him in His good time. Wait for the day of salvation that is coming. Wait in all your times and troubles, for there, even within those, you know that Christ is within you, Christ is for you, and Christ has accomplished your salvation even in the midst of your sin in a sinful world. It is basically keeping the faith by God's power.
When we come back, we'll go to our questions and comments from our listeners for our Pastor's Roundtable on this Wednesday afternoon, the 30th of January, talking about the parable of the sower.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org, shoplogia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Final stanza of the hymn, Preach You the Word. We're talking about the parable of the sower for the next 10 minutes of our pastor's roundtable. Pastor John Schoelberger, Pastor Brian Holly are our guests. The Lutheran Study Bible is a resource that helps a lot with these very, pardon the pun, the thorny parts of Jesus' teaching. Sometimes you're looking at this and you even have a question about something as simple as, let him who has ears, let him hear. What is Jesus saying there? And very often what you will find in the pages of the Lutheran Study Bible is a good, solid reference either to another passage where it is explained. That's a great way a study Bible can explain one passage with another, or some scholarly thoughts on it that you can fairly well depend upon. People who don't just speculate about what they think it might mean, but employ the best principles of biblical interpretation to give you those notes in the Lutheran Study Bible. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Lutheran Study Bible, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Let's go to the phone and talk with David, who is in Kansas City. Hi, David.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin. How are you doing?
Very well.
All right. Great. You know, I think I'd like you and your guests to comment on a couple observations I have here with regard to the text. It's great that you're playing the hymn there, preaching the word, because I think that text, this parable of the sower, has as much to say for encouragement for those who do preach the word. Because of its objectivity. Is the pastor meant to smooth out those thorns? No. Is the pastor meant to, you know, make sure he waves away that Satan so that, well, his preaching can't with all kinds of effectiveness? No. His job is to preach the word. And it's not his fault, it's not God's fault, whether people reject it. He knows it's going to happen, and he continues to preach that word, to plant it home. And, you know, so that that word of grace, that the Holy Spirit, through the word, can create faith in people that clings to Christ alone.
All right, let's see what Pastor Solberger has to say. John?
I think David is exactly right, and that final stanza says, and never faint, the harvest Lord who gave the sower seed to sow, he will watch and tend his planted word. We are given as pastors, and I appreciate David's support for those who stand in that office daily, we have to know it's not one whit about us. We have been given to do something, and our Lord, through his gifts to us, enables us sinners to do that. But what we all have to trust, preacher and hearer alike, is that we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, that seed of the word gives to us and grows in us and strengthens in us. And so it's not about the results that we see, and it's not even about us manicuring those results. It is about the fact that our Lord, who thought enough of us to come to us in our sin and give us this gift called faith, which receives forgiveness in the Savior, he also will not abandon us, but will keep with us and keep planting that word home through the church's preachers, through fathers and mothers in the home, through those holy vocations which we all become children of the Lord and hear to life everlasting.
Pastor Holly, Jim has this one for you. He says, how can one who is bad soil become a better hearer of the word or good soil?
I like that question. Because I think there's a variety of way that God does that. He does it. But interestingly enough, he does it, generally speaking, through his word. Absent the word, he can afflict us with bad things. He can bless us with good things. But apart from his word, there's really no improvement of the soil. But going from the ag motif, if it's hard and rocky, you plow it up, you break it up, you bust it up, and then you might spread fertilizer on it. I'm always think of the story about a fig tree, right? And it hadn't produced, tear that thing down, oh no, give me another year, I'll dig around it, I'll fertilize it, you know? And sometimes that means he spreads stuff on you that will make you more productive in the future. Farmers might even let your ground lay fallow for a while. Leave it to itself for a while before coming back and preparing it in other ways. So God has all sorts of ways to prepare people, and it's one of the challenges. As a pastor, I don't always know how God will prepare people. My job
is
or how he is in the process. My job is to just make sure there's a steady stream of seeds falling on that person so that the Holy Spirit can do what and when he will. And it may come from other people. It may come from a job, a setback, there are lots and lots of ways that God prepares people to finally hear and to begin to bear fruit.
You know, Pastor Holly, that's exactly right, because a moment ago before the last break, we were talking about how this is a mystery and the secrets of the faith, and how perhaps it's even best that we don't know, that we have been worked into good soil. It's not something for us to say, I feel that I've become good soil now. It is nothing like that. God is good enough to keep even that from us, but he works it. And the emailer's question there could also presuppose that, how does God work in bad soil? Well, does that presuppose that he actually begins work in some good soil? I believe we would have to confess, all of us, that he starts in us in our sin. We are conceived and born sinful. Yeah. And we're all bad soil. So, in effect, this is the only kind of soil that God begins his work in, is the poor, rocky, thorny soil, the shallow stuff, and makes us good soil by all the things that Pastor Hawley said, this cultivating, long-suffering God that works in and with our lives.
And as tempting as it may be, I think back to the caller and his comments. As tempting as it sometimes is as a pastor to share God's word with people, sometimes it seems like perhaps I could better prepare them if I shared some of my own worldly wisdom and experiences, and maybe if I borrowed techniques from other areas. Preach the word, right?
That's right.
Throw the seed. Keep showing them Jesus over and over and over and over again, and take my wisdom and experiences out of the equation.
All right, this one for you, Pastor Schulberger from Scott. It says, is the condition of the soil the result of man's efforts, God's cultivation, or, and here's something we haven't addressed yet, a combination of the two?
Well, in that we will reject the word oftentimes, especially when it's acutely what we might need. But, I mean, the soil is a result, first of all, of the lost and fallen condition that we inherit from Adam, as I'm sure Scott and everyone knows. But we also can tend to take that word and make it say different things. I think we found this in the garden with the very first fall into sin, that was the matter. So, yes, we can take some of God's cultivation, and we can, in our stubborn willfulness, we can alter and pervert what the work that he does with us. But there again, God doesn't see that and say, okay, I'll let you go. He may do that for a time, as was mentioned earlier, but I think we really have to find this poor soil. Is we have to share its condition. We are responsible for it ourselves. We alone, mea culpa, the fault is my own, but also I am a victim of that murderous liar, Satan, and he always wants to make sure I'm in some sort of poor condition for the seed of God's word. But God is a savior. He's a rescuer. And he will always find us in that poor condition and bring us to the point of good fruit and good soil.
One more question from our listeners for you, Pastor Hawley, in about only a minute to respond. Jackie says, my job involves studying how grasses grow. I can't help but notice that the seed, the gospel, produces more seed, more gospel. It is self-perpetuating. We act only as a medium through which it can multiply. What are your thoughts there with only a minute?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that analogy. And as a matter of fact, as I was preparing for today, I went back and read some different commentaries and some of the stuff from the history of the church, and I was struck how oftentimes this pericope goes on to include the next few verses after verse 15, and I was looking at that just a minute ago. And after 15, verse 16 continues, no one after lighting a lamp covers it, and he encourages, so let your light shine. Pastors, preach the word. Let your life shine. Hearers, don't cover it up. Share that light. So, seed produces more seed, if you will. It's just his people sharing Jesus with others. And that's where the power is. That's how God makes disciples.
Pastor Brian Hawley is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Brian, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Always enjoy it, Todd.
Pastor John Solberger is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska. John, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd. Very good to be with you.
Scott, if you would send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you the Lutheran Study Bible. When we come back in hour two of Issues, Etc., Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer will be our guest. We're going to talk about the Trinity and Christian worship. Have you ever noticed? And especially those of you who attend a kind of a big box evangelical church, for lack of a better term. You go there and you have kind of the typical contemporary worship. Have you noticed something missing or almost missing? The Trinity? Explicit mentions of the triune God. Maybe a lot of talk about God. Maybe some talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
What about altogether, where you have been taught, where it's been made abundantly clear to you every Sunday that the God you are worshiping isn't some generic God, isn't just the Father, isn't just the Son, isn't just the Holy Spirit, but is in fact the triune God, three in one. And along with that, the disappearance of those Trinitarian creeds in Christian worship. We'll talk about all of that in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. Then Dr. Gilbert Mailander will join us. We'll be talking about medical ethics. The most remarkable thing about this parable is the man who tells it. And he's doing, amazingly enough, he's doing the parable as he tells the parable. He's kind of doing a running commentary on what he's actually doing right there. He opens up his mouth and he says, "Let him who has ears hear." He wants us to hear this word. He wants us to receive this word because this word is himself, his own salvation worked for us at the cross. He wants to save. We'll be right back with Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Hi, this is Jonathan Collin from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issuesetc.org.